Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday. It is the 1st of July, the first day of July. We welcome you to the month. We welcome you to the show. We welcome you to our discussion. And we welcome you to write letters to us regarding what we're talking about, of course. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is ready to go. Good morning, Alan. Yes, see, he's ready to go. He's idling. Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is here as well.
Good morning.
Always ready to go. And political consultant Libby Post joins us this morning.
Hello.
Ever ready.
Ever ready. Like the bunny.
Like the little bunny. The Supreme Court ruled on Monday that requiring family-owned corporations to pay for insurance coverage for contraception under the Affordable Care Act violated a federal law protecting religious freedom. It was, a dissent said, a decision of startling breadth. The 5-4 ruling, which I think is what we all said yesterday, right? That would be a 5-4 ruling?
I know, I sure did.
Which applied to two companies owned by Christian families, opened the door to many challenges from corporations over laws that they claim violate the religious liberty. And this was Burwell versus Hobby Lobby. And I think it's safe to say that while the decision was not a major surprise, obviously it was a major decision.
Well, some are portraying it as being limited in its impact, but I think it furthers the Supreme Court's belief, establishment, underscoring, whatever you want to say, that corporations are indeed people, as Mitt Romney said during the last presidential election, and apparently they can have religious feelings. So a hobby store can have a religious point of view, and that can be respected.
The door to everybody who can say that any religious feeling they have about any subject can allow them not to do what the government has prescribed for all of us.
I mean, what if a small, closely owned, handful of people had a company and they had several employees and they didn't believe in surgery? Or prescription drugs.
Well, no, surgery has been an example.
Or vaccinations.
Vaccinations. Yeah. Paying the minimum wage, according Women Equal Pay for substantially similar work.
This is people as corporations as people versus women as people, and the corporations
Great
as
point.
People are winning the battle here. But Viagra is still covered. They didn't argue against Viagra being not covered, and this really opens the door for companies who want to discriminate against women, lesbians and gay people, bisexual, transgender people, all the different folks that people say my religion is against them. This just opens that door, and it's a closely held corporation. So what? The door has now been opened, and now there'll be plenty of other challenges.
And it was clear Alito was leaving. Wrote both of these major decisions, by the way. It was leaving the door open. I do have a new theory that I'm working on. Want to hear it?
Sure.
Why don't you share it?
And that is in Iran, right? Remember Iran? The Grand Ayatollah. So they set up a government, and they elect a moderate compared to what they used to have. And the moderate says, okay, this is what we're going to do. And the Grand Ayatollah slams the door and says, not so fast. You're not going to do that. Are you following me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You are. The Supreme Court is our Grand Ayatollah. Mm-hmm. So that we have a democracy. We have the ability to a president who is overwhelmingly elected by the American people. And we have our form of the Grand Ayatollah conservative who sits up there and says, not so fast. Who are these guys? They're five guys who happen to have been appointed by a bunch of Republicans. Libby, I see you have your hand up.
Five guys. That's what's important here.
Well, not only for this case, but for every other case.
That's right.
Unions and everything else that they've been doing. And so we have this SCOTUS, as we call it now, which
Supreme Court of the United States.
Right, but it reminds me of something else, but I can't.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Yeah.
Scopes.
No. Little.
No,
never
no,
mind.
No. Down further.
That's right.
Let's
a little
put it
further
this way.
South.
Medication for that area is covered.
That's right.
So, what do you think? What do you think of my theory?
Well,
they aren't. at that level, in my opinion. I mean, they did do the right thing. It was, I think, it was unanimous about the cell phone not being something that police can get their hands on and, ordinarily. And
because all these jokers have cell phones. That's why.
Well, they also convenient.
Also, they're always looking for a way to say what Mike just said, which is, we're not so bad. Right. We'll give you this little one over here, and then we'll go hit you up the side of your head over here.
It was 5-4.
They did two anti-abortion decisions. The striking down the Massachusetts law for there being the bubble, and then this. But then they, you know, didn't hear the case. They refused to hear the case from California that made reparative therapy illegal in California, which is a good thing that they didn't hear that case and let the decision in California stand. You know, reparative therapy is you can pray the gay away and that sort of stuff. But, you know, this really, this is opening the door for my religion says X, so I don't have to do Y. And it really is a very dangerous precedent to set. And we're walking down, and Ginsburg said it's a very slippery slope, and it's one that I think that's covered with ice, and we're just going to go sliding down.
She had some great quotes.
She did. She really did.
In the decisions, the court forgets that religious organizations exist to serve a community of believers. For-profit corporations do not fit that bill.
And well, you know, the other thing is Hobby Lobby, most of their product comes from China, where abortion is government-funded.
Right.
Okay. They don't seem to have a problem with that in terms of doing business with a country where
abortion is business.
Well, so is this. So is this.
Let me ask you a question. You're a fairly observant person. You're the president of your shul, and you have religious principles. So when you hear them say, you know, that people's religions allow them to opt out of governmental laws. As a practicing Jewish person, what do you think?
I think that my religious observant is my personal business. I've always felt this, and that it has absolutely no impact on anyone else. And it shouldn't have any impact on anybody else. That's I've always felt that. It's one of the reasons why I've always bristled against proselytizing and people, you know, getting in your face in Penn Station or Grand Central when I was a kid, handing me tracts and things like that. This is my personal religious beliefs. That's what I believe. I don't expect anybody else to believe it, and nor would I impose my beliefs on anyone else.
Which, but to that point, and this is in no way endorsing what Hobby Lobby is doing or the decision. But if with these held beliefs that we all have, would you go to work for them? That was the other thing. I mean, for me, that was now. Obviously, that doesn't answer the question, but it seems to me that if I knew that that was my employer's stand on this, then I would try to go somewhere else.
If you needed a job and you needed
to feed
your
family.
No, I know,
you're absolutely right. I don't agree with that, but I'm just saying.
I mean, not defending the ruling necessarily, but one of the arguments that Alito made in his decision, you know, that he wrote was that you know, contraception is still available through other means, and even there are remedies from the Obama administration through Obamacare to provide that, you know, just work it in differently. I mean, there's a couple of different examples of it. And there's some who are interpreting it as only being limited to this because there are other ways to provide contraception to women. That it wouldn't apply to the broader cases of somebody who had a religious belief against. You know, I can remember some companies, if people were divorced, they wouldn't, they would lose their jobs or
something.
The telephone
company didn't hire Jews for years.
Adlai Stevenson lost an election probably in large part because, it was Eisenhower.
Yeah.
I take that back.
Right.
Okay, well, anyway.
But,
because of Eisenhower.
But one other thing,
in
terms of the hypocrisy here, Hobby Lobby does business with China. CBS News has an article about that they have, they invest in businesses. Their 501k are invest in businesses in companies that produce IUDs and emergency contraceptive pills. And those are the pills that they really have a problem with. So they're just it's being totally hypocritical.
And then I have a question for you off the air. Go ahead, Dallin.
Okay. And then, that's not fair.
Oh, does it have to be off the air?
What a teaser.
I understand the morning after pill, because they were saying that it was akin to abortion. How is an IUD akin to abortion?
It's not.
It prevents implantation.
After conception has happened.
But doesn't a condom?
Yes.
No, a condom prevents conception.
An abuse of God's plan.
Well, the condom prevents sperm
from
eating
the egg. You're not supposed to do sex for fun.
Well,
you're supposed to do sex
for procreation.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a very narrow point of view.
Well,
I don't think
every Christian believes that's exactly the point.
But that's
there are people who believe that. Noah said Hobby Lobby retirement plan includes mutual funds which invest in Teva and Pfizer, manufacturers of such medications, Plan B, IUDs, abortion pills, and more. The hypocrites that they are simply out to save a buck and grind an axe. They have abused the rhetoric of religious freedom for their own greed, says Noah.
You know, okay. And what's this is going to be an opportunity is for the companies that, you know, don't use religion as their way, their bully pulpit, to let the public know. Come do business with us.
Well, maybe. But, you know, there's still plenty of people in this world who believe this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll get some business because of this. Look.
I think they're already getting that business because everybody knows. I mean, Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby has been on the a couple of years ago, there was a story about somebody walking into Hobby Lobby looking for something from a Celtic, you know, hobby thing, whatever it is that the chazarai that they sell.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't do that here. It's not Christian. Same thing with Hanukkah candles. We don't do that. Or any kind of Hanukkah decorations. Oh, we don't do that here. And they then sort of backtracked on that one. But, you know, they have made it very clear who they are and what they believe.
As Al Gore said, says John, elections matter. Scalia and Alito have proven to be the most activist court in history. John, could somebody explain the elections matter?
You elect a president who's going to appoint conservative.
Elect a president four presidents ago who are going to appoint.
Well, that's it. It was Bush, why it was so important for John Kerry to be elected. It was just this reason.
Al Gore, who really should have been the president
in
my mind.
That's right. He actually was.
Yes, but he wasn't.
Right, because of who was on the Supreme Court. Yeah. I mean, it's so...
He lost 5-4.
You know, just... another 5-4. Just connect all those dots.
Let's take a break. We'll be back, and then we'll wrap this conversation up and move on to other issues. WAMC... Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC goes to Mashokan Center, Olive Ridge, New York, presenting the All-Star Guitar Summit with Chris Eldridge, Happy Trom, Mamie Minch, Ari Eisinger, and J.D. Pendley, Sunday, July 13th, ashokancenter.org. Adelphi University Hudson Valley Center's Graduate Social Work Program and Graduate and Undergraduate Nursing Programs, open house July 8th at the Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital, adelphi.edu. Kenco Work and Play Outfitters Kingston now taking reservations for the newly opened Kenco's Interactive Archery Range inside the expanded Big Green Building on Route 28. atkenco.com. And Amtrak announcing the Amtrak I Love New York travel packages available between any two Amtrak train stations in New York State or Montreal. Amtrak.com for details.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. We're going to go to some letters. We'll pass. We'll work on this, and then we'll go on to other issues. Letters first.
Ken says, "I don't hi. I don't. The hi is important.
Okay.
Hi. I don't like the decision any more than you do. But what's the point of sitting around and belly aching? Do you propose some kind of structural constitutional change to prevent having ensconced old men make decisions in the future or reducing the relative weight of the court versus the other two branches?" And that's from Ken. I'd just like to answer that, if I may. Can I have a turn?
Yes, sure.
And that is, it is very important for everybody to understand just how the power relationship works so that when somebody is running for, let's say, president of the United States, and they say, I think what's gone on in the Supreme Court has gone on far too long. I want to change that with my appointments. Then it becomes something that you might want to consider that you might not otherwise consider, Ken. Yes, they're not going to have a constitutional amendment, at least not in my lifetime. But you are going to have a public consciousness of the way this is being done, and that would be my answer.
Absolutely. Also, to John's point earlier about elections matter and who they elect to the Supreme Court, and so I think it's far from bellyaching. I think it's discussing important issues that will face the future.
And then Michael wrote, "Don't the women who work there have any rights to be protected under the law? Isn't equal treatment in the Constitution?" And that's from Michael. Well, there was a famous Supreme Court justice who said a long time ago, the Constitution is what we say it is. And that's the 5-4
decision.
Well, and
they can offer whatever benefits they want, right?
And that's what it is.
I mean, the court has not denied access to birth control to anybody by this. They've just upheld the rights of a corporation to behave more like an individual, and that's the trend.
Actually, not.
But they also said, well, the government can make those drugs available, those contraceptions available to those women. Okay, so then what? Are the Republicans going to vote for a budget with the funding in it?
Which does it, yeah.
Right? To make that stuff available?
You are so brilliant, Libby. I'm so glad you're here. I really am. Okay, so Kathleen writes, "I've always found it odd that the Supreme Court has 6 Catholics sitting and not 1 Protestant. Did their faith weigh heavily in their decisions?" Well, one always wonders about that kind of thing. We like to think not. You know, we have in this room two Catholics.
Two Catholics.
And two Jews. It's like growing up on Long Island.
Rockville Center.
Right, right. And we all walked into a bar. And then
right.
Ba-dum-bum.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess that's it.
Did you see the one from Eric?
Eric. "My religious belief prescribes war. Thus, I do not want to pay for it." Okay, SCOTUS.
Right.
And that's from Eric.
All right. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this break. Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. Our panel this morning, WAMC's Alan Chartok, Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain, and political consultant Libby Post. We are talking about numerous topics today, although we've only gotten to one so far, but we'll get to more. I promise you. We've got a lot of stuff, but we got some mail on this one before we move on.
And from James, "I mean no offense to the members of the table, but as a young 20-something struggling in the world whose problems were created by another generation, I feel we need term limits and a switch from appointments to elections for those old cranks on the court who seem to dictate their ideas, and we the people have to." An allusion, which maybe I shouldn't read, but it has to do with, you know, taking the pipe. Okay, so, and then from Tom, "The conversation about Hobby Lobby case is so abstract. The owners of corporations tend to be heavily male and, of course, on average, wealthier than their employees. In real terms, this ruling is about men making decisions for women," point you made earlier, Libby. "However, the odds for a fix from the White House are good." That's from Tom. Okay, maybe. And then, we did that one already. And then I guess, and then from Ryan, "Good morning. Is there a buffer zone around the Hobby Lobby?"
And great then, letter.
There should be.
And then, yes. And then Sandra writes, "I am a woman, not a Republican nor a Democrat. I believe in the rights of women to obtain abortions, but I do not believe if you are born with a uterus, you, quote, deserve to have free birth control. People should be responsible for themselves. And sadly, we're becoming a society where everyone expects government to take over where their parents fail them or cease taking care of them. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say citizens are entitled to have their sexual preferences or lifestyles supported by taxing other citizens." Woo.
Well, certainly she must mean sexual orientation because it's not really a preference. But nobody's saying free contraception. We're saying contraception covered by insurance without regard to anybody's religious beliefs.
And by health care.
Right.
And that's what health care reform was. And
yeah,
also not only religious belief, Libby, you're right, but also the ability to pay. I mean, there are some people who are just don't have the resources to do this. What, they deserve to get pregnant if they don't want to? I mean, that's absurd. In my opinion, it's absurd.
We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Just got another one there, Alan.
Oh, we did? Oh, good. I'm so glad you're keeping an eye on this because I'm not as good as
Before we move on, I just didn't
Okay. From Jeremy. If corporations are people, then we can send them to prison when they break the law.
Yeah.
Maybe some will even get the death penalty.
Yeah, okay. that sounds good.
Isn't that why corporations were first created, so that the members of a corporation would be liable and be protected?
Right, yeah. Right.
So real quick, we should mention there was another decision yesterday from the Supreme Court ruling against union fees, the Supreme Court dealt a limited blow to organized labor on Monday by ruling that some government employees did not have to pay any fees to the unions representing them, but the court declined to strike down a decades-old precedent that required many public sector workers to pay union fees. Again, 5-4 decision concluded that
there was a
category of government employees, a partial public employee who can opt out of joining a union and not be required to contribute union fees.
Well, okay, so here, setting it up, it goes this way. These are part-time people who are theoretically employed by the home health care patrons that are hiring them. And therefore, the court says they can opt out. But setting it up, obviously, for going out to the whole idea of people having to pay
agency fees.
Yeah. And now it's these are the unions which negotiate their contracts for them. They're the ones who get their benefits for them. They're the ones, in some cases, who train them. And so there will be people who want to take all the benefits and ride on the coattails, you know, of others. It's that simple. Nevertheless, there are those people who think that, you know, every time a union supports a political candidate or does something that is not in their way of liking or thinking, that it's wrong and that their money shouldn't be going for that. We had something like that with a very prominent citizen here in Albany who ended up running charter schools, I believe, who sued SUNY Albany because they were using his student fee for the same kind of reasons. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this can be remedied by legislation. I mean, they're interpreting the law. They're not interpreting the Constitution necessarily. I mean, of course, there's the Supreme Court. That's the point. But Congress could change laws or state legislatures could change laws that would be more I'm not saying they're poised to do it, but they do have the ability to change the law and strengthen the ability of unions, although the climate is not there now.
Yeah, right. The guy in Wisconsin, Scott Walker.
Yeah, Walker.
Totally undermined the unions and got rid of collective bargaining for public employees.
Yeah. Well, look, unions have not enjoyed the greatest popularity in the United States over the last, you know, couple of decades.
Right.
I believe we're at the lowest union membership ever in this country. Part of that is on the unions, but part of it is just the conservative nature of the way in which things go.
And part of it is, I think, corporations and employers have learned to treat their employees better as a direct opposite
because of hobby lobbying.
Right. Because of the unions, to make sure that their employees are happy enough and well compensated enough that they don't necessarily think they need a union.
That was always the philosophy at IBM, for example, that where they would outdo the unions and then fight unions, you know, coming in and organizing their workers. And for decades, it was good because the risk of that brought more benefits and a better workplace.
And then IBM
left.
That was different.
Henry Ford, I believe that terrible anti-Semite, was a guy who believed in paying a little bit more to keep the unions out, but it didn't work.
Let's move on. roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's go to other court action and go to the, hold on, if I can actually click on the right link. There we go. The Court of Appeals in New York State ruled 5-2 to uphold lower court rulings that supported fracking bans adopted in 2011 by two upstate towns. Opponents of natural gas hydrofracking declared complete victory in Monday's precedent-setting ruling by the state's highest court that upheld the legality of dozens of local government bans in the Southern Tier and elsewhere against the controversial drilling technique.
Well, you know, you can, I know, Mike, you have a lot to say on this because it's your story, but you could call me Ishmael because I've been around for a long time, and I know the incredible power of the corporate culture and the wealth in the United States. So if a ruling like this and a state court goes against them, can anybody see the United States Congress at some point? Remember, it's not Democrats versus Republicans. You have a president who wants fracking and a Democrat and plenty of Democrats in the Congress. So could you see a time coming when the siting function, in other words, where they are, becomes federalized as opposed to the state? I love this ruling, by the way, by the state court, but I'm concerned because there's always another way around it.
Well, the ruling yesterday by New York's top court, the Court of Appeals, was not about whether hydrofracking is beneficial or detrimental to the economy, the environment, or energy needs of New York. That's according to the opinion written by Justice Graffio. Victoria Graffio wrote the majority opinion. And, you know, that's something that's going to be judged on its own merits, she points out. But what this does is—
You don't really believe that, do you?
I think it's an affirmation of localities to zone and to make decisions about the quality of life and the way that their community exists. And it gives them the right to control traffic and control development. And, you know, just if you wanted to build a big shopping center in the middle of a small town, a rural town, and they wanted to come in and bulldoze everything, you have the right to
oil down at the port.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that this is a positive an affirmation of local rights and local
rule.
Well,
I love it, but I think if, you know,
you think that
judges are human beings. And they're sitting there saying, okay.
But it's a blow to the Cuomo administration, which maintain that they should have the ultimate rights. You know. By the way, you cannot zone against a casino. Just saying.
And how come?
Well, at least it hasn't been tested in the courts. The state wants to be able to override local zoning concerns. But on the other hand, they say they're not going to award a license to a community that doesn't want it. So maybe that achieves the same
thing. I believe Rockefeller was quite famous. See, that's one of the advantages of being old. Of, you know, there was a whole business about where the coal burning plants were going to be, and he wanted the state to have the siting function as opposed to, you know, localities, and because they were such a pain in the neck.
Well, anyway, but it was a strong ruling. Environmentalists are hailing it as a complete victory. And lets localities, you know, have their own say. Now, so far, more than 80 towns in New York have used zoning laws to ban fracking, and 120 have moratoriums. And now they're going to get to pass permanent bans if they want.
And there may be some locality that says,
"Oh, I think they're wrong.
Bring them in."
Oh, I think they're wrong. Come on, I think there will be. Yeah.
Meanwhile, no zoning against casinos. Speaking of casinos, yesterday was the big deadline.
Yep. They say that the documents that 17 applications from 16 different entities totaled about more than a ton of paper. They were bringing it up in truckloads from the various applicants. Five of those 16 bidders for 17 projects. Five of them were from the Capital Region. You know, the ones we've talked about in East Greenbush, the city of Rensselaer, downtown Schenectady, and Montgomery County just outside Amsterdam. But we got details of a fifth one for the Capital Region where an application did come in. It was the people who run Howe Caverns out in Schoharie County. They've teamed up with a company, Full House Resorts of Las Vegas, who plan a water park and a dinosaur theater, two hotels, and a casino. And they're going to tap into the area's you know, historic value, you know, historic tourism. They're going to play up Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame, and all the historical sites out there and try to align with that. That's their plan. And they'll be among the competitors. There's going to be four licenses awarded statewide. They're going to be probably one in the Capital Region, a couple in the Hudson Valley, Catskill area, and one in central New York going down to the southern tier. And that will be decided by probably the fall, some of these licenses, maybe in time for groundbreakings before the election.
I find it really interesting that two of these firms, Green Track and Galasso, are using the same lobbying firm.
Oh, yes.
Which is Park Strategies.
Right, yeah.
Which was Alphonse D'Amato's firm.
Right.
Interesting.
Is that right? Was it D'Amato's firm?
Yeah.
And isn't that
parts.
A conflict of interest?
Well, no. They're applying in different parts of the state. So one will be applying in the Capital Region, one will be applying in
yeah,
the Hudson Valley.
They're
yeah.
still competing against each other because there's only going to be a certain amount.
It's all money.
Right.
You know.
Two of the same developers are teaming up, one for the Capital Region for Schenectady, and then one for down near Newburgh. You know, a company is doing that, a Chicago-based company. You know, they're hedging their bets, so to speak.
All right, so let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get a few more letters, and then we'll finish up our conversation.
Then we'll
this
go
morning.
Away.
Roundtable at WAMC.
Bye-bye now.
.org. Not yet. You still got 10 minutes. Roundtable WMC.org.
Support for WAMC goes to Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996. MannixMarketing.com. Oh My International Art Center, Ghent, New York, presenting Art Oh My Weekend with an opportunity to see international art in the country. Saturday and Sunday, July 12th and 13th, open to the public, artomai.org. Ye Olde Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books plus collectibles and curiosities. Open 7 days a week, yeoldwarwickbookshop.com. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscotch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. As we wrap up for this morning, we have a few more letters to read, and then we'll get to our final topic for the day.
Okay, indeed. Peter writes on the question of union dues. How about you don't pay dues, you don't get to benefit from the negotiated improvements, are left behind. That's from Bonnie. There was from the Birdman of WAMC, Rich Guthrie. Rich called in and he said, good morning. With reference to the current, if still, discussion, I wonder if this SCOTUS decision might affect one's right ability to bring a ham sandwich for lunch at a kosher bakery, a battery-operated toothbrush to an Amish farmstead. Just wondering, best, Rich. No, that's no good. Too long is no good. You got to keep them short, folks. And that, I think, is it. Do you see any others, Joseph?
No, that's all I see for letters. As far as we always welcome your letters, even though we're done, we can certainly take some. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We've been talking a lot about court action this morning, and Albany County, of course, their cyberbullying law was in the Court of Appeals. And I guess we've just learned, Mike, that there has been a decision on that.
Yeah, Rob Gavin, our court reporter, Porter has a story up on TimesUnion.com that Albany County was ruled against. The court voted 5-2, calling the statute overly broad, and throughout the statute, which the case stemmed from the arrest of a Cohoes High School student who made some pretty harsh remarks about a fellow student on Facebook back in 2010. But his lawyer and the New York Civil Liberties Union said that that it would violate his First Amendment rights if he was held accountable for that and convicted of their anti-cyberbullying statute. And some other counties had been watching that, looking to expand that law and adopt the same language. But now that's a setback. And, you know, controlling people's speech on websites and on Facebook and Twitter, et cetera, apparently—
No matter how outrageous.
Yeah, no matter how outrageous is apparently—
And how hurtful.
Protected.
And how the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there's always a matter of balance in this stuff because— you know, I actually got an award from the local civil liberties people a couple of years ago. But I don't mind saying that when, you know, if it were my kid and, you know, and we've seen suicides as a result of this kind of thing, you know, people who are gay, people who are of color, people, this is disgusting stuff. And I think there have to be, it may not be this ordinance, but there has to be some way of—
To hold people accountable for what they say online.
And, you know, they don't use last names, they're bullies, they're this, they're that, it's awful.
Libby?
Oh, well, you know, I just find it, when you have a kid that's been bullied to the point of suicide, and you call that freedom of speech, I'm sorry, but I just can't go there.
Well,
and
it brings us all the way back to Skokie.
Yeah, right. And I could not, I didn't agree with the ACLU's decision to defend the Nazis to march in Skokie, Illinois, which is a big Jewish enclave outside of Chicago. You know, cyberbullying really has had an impact on our young people. And when parents are complicit, I mean, that's the other part of this, is that there are parents egging their kids on to cyberbully their peers in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, something has to be done. And I understand where the court's coming from, but we need to do something here. And this law, fine. So Albany County is going to go back, I guarantee you, and come up, you know, Tom Marcel and the folks there are going to come up with something else. To be able to, I'm sure, be challenged. But we have to do something. It's an epidemic, and it's leading to real damage of our young people.
Because this is not, this is more than, I mean, I understand the court's interpretation, but this is more than just commenting and saying something that is, this is very specific to an individual where names are mentioned of other individuals.
Oh, yeah.
It's so horrible when you read the stuff that was posted, that there has to be something that can allow that to be curtailed for the protection of the individual.
Absolutely.
Well, we do it in some cases, for example, with child porn.
Right.
And we say, no, you can't do
that.
You can't do that. And nobody argues, or if they do argue, it isn't going anywhere.
Well, the problem with child porn is once the person becomes 18, then it's okay. You know, it's insane.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. Right. It is bizarre. But it's just, we have to, as a society, become more responsible for what we say, for how we act, for the impact. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's what I grew up with.
But that's wrong.
But it's not true anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
Well, but the problem, Libby, is that that there really are some lunatics out there.
Yeah.
That you know, they have no sense of
right or wrong.
Right or wrong.
Yeah.
And
it's no moral compass.
In this particular case, a fellow is a teenager, and he said publicly on his website, on Facebook actually, that he named other students who were ages 13 to 16 and said their name, you know, and said they had several sexual partners and some were gay, and this apparently is protected speech. But you could see when they were making the argument before the Court of Appeals a few weeks ago that the judges thought it was just a poorly crafted law and it was overly broad, which does make me think they'll go back to the
If he did the same thing in print in the school, would it be considered bullying?
Oh, I think it
would
be.
Yes.
Been, yeah.
Would the – so is it
– Yeah.
It's, yeah, I mean, when it constitutes a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as assault. I mean, essentially, that's what they were saying. This was the equivalent of assault. And
because of the cyber
court,
aspect.
Yeah,
right.
And the court didn't agree. And we'll have to look at their decision. I'm sure there'll be some analysis of this and maybe some proposals to reword the law and bring it back through.
All right. We're officially 20 seconds over time.
Okay.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks,
appreciate
Joe.
It. And we'll be back tomorrow. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.